Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 163 of Her, the podcast where you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her broken heart. We have a terrific show coming up, but before we begin, just know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your reminder to click on to iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show. We look forward to hearing from you and reviewing all of your feedback. Like, I'm sitting here waiting to hear from you, okay? So don't forget to do that. Rate and review after the show. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast,
the naked truth about women,
her mind,
her body,
her life. It's all about her.
So I'm reading the New York Times, and I happen along this article about a breakup boot camp. All right, raise your hand if you've had one of those funky, maybe just heartrending breakups. Yeah, that's what I thought. Busted, all of us. So, you know, this is hard. A lot of people are challenged to have to navigate the treacherous waters of getting up in the morning and trying to wade through your feelings. You drag stuff with you. It affects everything in your life. Well, what about a boot camp to be able to do that? So there's a fabulous new idea. It's called the Renew Breakup Boot Camp. And this is the brainchild of Amy Chan, who was a marketing executive before she started this whole retreat, which I think is wonderful. It's billed as a scientific and spiritual approach to healing the heart. So, Amy, welcome to the Her podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, Amy, why did you do this? What's the backstory on this retreat?
Yeah, so I've been a relationship columnist for over 10 years, but 7 years ago, I was living in Vancouver, and I was dating a guy that I thought I would spend the rest of my life with. And when that relationship fell apart, I fell apart. And I realized I put so much of my identity in him and us, and I tried everything I could to heal. I had depression, I had panic attacks, I even had thoughts of suicide. And I did yoga retreats, therapy, psychics, Reiki, you name it. But there was nothing that was focused on what I was going through, the pain of heartbreak. And I decided that there has to be something for women who are going through this really traumatic time in their lives.
Wow. Okay. So when you conceptualize this, why a retreat? You know, why did this seem to be the way to go?
There's many reasons why. And one is when you are in a breakup, you are in a space, if you're living with a person especially, and you're constantly reminded of the person. And so I thought a retreat where you could leave home but and also be in nature and be in a safe environment with other women who are also going through the same thing and then have programming from 8 in the morning to 12 o'clock at night, that would be a very effective way to take you out of your comfort zone and provide a state change.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. So when you conceptualize this, how did you envision how this would, you know, a woman shows up and then what?
A woman shows up and the first thing we do is we start to get to know each other, and then we all gather around the fireplace and we all share our stories one by one. And I actually teach them how to share their stories without re-traumatizing themselves. And there's actually very scientific ways that we can do things, which unfortunately they don't teach us in school, and how we can help emotionally regulate. And so you come in and then you kind of meet all these other women, and then you are afterwards immersed into yoga and meditation. And hour after hour, there's a different type of programming led by a team of about 10 facilitators who help you on this journey and provide different healing modalities for your process.
Now, how does a woman tell her story without re-traumatizing herself? What do you mean by that specifically?
Yeah. So when you are in heavy distress over what happened and you go through the story, and this is generally what will happen, you will tell your story of heartbreak and you'll go over painstaking details and you tell it in an associated way. And this is not anything I made up. It's actually very basic learnings of neuro-linguistic programming. And so you tell the story like you're reliving it. Well, what happens is your body can't tell the difference if this is something that happened in the past or if it's something that's happening right now. And you are actually flooded with all these stress hormones as if you're reliving the experience. So a tip is to actually tell the story in a disassociated way, meaning you tell the story as if you are watching yourself going through the experience and you skip over all these painstaking details so that you're able to still get the facts. However, you're not living the emotional experience of what happened.
Wow. I think every woman out there really needs to hear that because I think that they re-traumatize themselves inadvertently. I don't think people really mm-hmm. knew that there was an alternative, you know, without going through every single, you know, heart-wrenching detail. But, you know, almost going a little, I guess, you know, I'm a physician, so I'm going to say this, a little more clinical. You know, you look at it mm-hmm. sort of objectively. It's like, well, this is what happened on, you know, February 3rd, blah, blah, happened and back and forth. I think that that is a really cool mental tool for women to learn, because I think that we really go to the panic, anxiety, and beat yourself up place in maybe about a nanosecond if it took us that long. You know, being able to step back is important, don't you think, Amy?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, another rule that we have right when they come in and they start telling their stories is there's no male or ex bashing. And, you know, when we get together with our friends after a heartbreak, it might seem very normal to connect through pain. So we go, oh my gosh, what a jerk, he did this. But that actually creates a lot of negative energy and it doesn't help you. And we really encourage the people who come to a retreat to act like scientists. There's extremely important data that our exes reveal about our patterns, our subconscious beliefs, and our wounds. And so that's what they are meant to do. And it's not to have some hate fest rabbit hole.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, the other thing that I would think, and tell me if I'm wrong, are you asking women during the retreat to also study what happens so that they can pluck lessons from all of this, trends, behavioral patterns, that tend to potentially get them into another rut?
100%. So here's the kicker. People think they're coming because of their last relationship. They're not. It's recycled pain. And so the reason why we have everything from behavioral scientists, psychologists, and coaches there is because we really need to go down and find out what is the root of the wound. What is the pattern that's repeating? Because if you don't figure that out, what happens is as an adult, you recreate the same emotional experience as what you experienced as a child. And that just keeps getting reconfirmed relationship after relationship. So again, we do all these different exercises to really extract what are those patterns, what are those belief systems that's causing us to choose the wrong partners and stay in relationships that are unhealthy and toxic.
Okay. Now, you know, you've done how many of these retreats now?
We've done 5.
Okay. And when's the next one?
July 20th.
July 20th. Okay. How does a woman out there know to connect with you? What's the best website? How do they learn more?
Yeah. So they just can go on renewbreakupbootcamp.com. And from there, they can set up a time to schedule a call with me. And I answer any questions and also determine if they are right fit for the retreat.
Now, what does that mean, a right fit for the retreat? Because immediately now, all my listeners are saying, what? You know, what's wrong with me that I can't go on a retreat, you know?
No.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So really, there's one thing I am looking for. That is, someone has gone through enough pain or suffering where they've hit a tipping point and they've said enough. I'm ready to change. That is a life force energy that I cannot teach anyone. I cannot convince someone to want to change. And the minute they do, we have a team of experts and facilitators that can help guide you along the path, but I cannot teach you to want to change.
Aha. So in other words, there's a great book. I know you know it. It's written by James Prochaska, and it's really the stages of change. And, you know, there's that pre-contemplation, then contemplation, and it goes on and on. And people, when they want to change anything in their life, end up really stumbling through all of these phases and recycling through and you know, regrouping again and kind of picking it up. It's one of those trial and error situations, but you have to be, I think what you're really looking for, Amy, is a state of readiness. Are you ready to now sit down and confront what happened in an objective way, get ready for some lessons, and also be aware of the fact that some of this is going to be some eye-opening, maybe painful, you know, moments where you have to really reflect on your own behavior and your own sense of self. That's a tough one. Have you noticed that women, you know, during the retreat, you've done five of these now, do they have difficulty with this? Have you been surprised or not surprised by their reactions to this?
I've been surprised. So the first few times I thought, okay, maybe I'm just lucky that this transformational shift happens. And then after the third, fourth, fifth time, I realized that it's not an accident. And I believe that, yes, it is difficult. And what happens is on the Friday, they come in and it's very intense. They're offloading a lot. They're processing. They're really still in survival mode. And we teach a lot of tools for emotional regulation to help with that, to help process the pain in a healthy way. And then by Saturday, the energy starts to shift. And you actually even see their physical posture starts to change. They start to let down their hair. They start to laugh. And by Sunday, they're elated. And they go out into the world inspired and empowered and having this complete sense of bonding and sisterhood and support with the other women in the group. And that bonding continues. And so, yeah, that's still, like, surprising for me every single time. But yeah, it's a very challenging process, and the women are extremely courageous.
Do you see that shame, blame, and guilt figure into a woman's perspective of what happened?
So much. So much that we actually brought in a dominatrix who has a PhD from Berkeley in human development, who dedicates an entire session on shame. And we really talk about addressing our shame and really loving and embracing all the sides of us, that even the sides that we don't feel are pretty or beautiful or smart enough. And she teaches tools on how we can address our shame. That's, unfortunately, a lot of us it's been socialized from a very, very young age.
Now, have you ever given thought to the difference between a male heartbreak and a female heartbreak? I've been sort of curious about that. You know, when a guy gets dumped or, you know, something happens and the whole relationship implodes or whatever, what is the difference, because there has to be one, I imagine, between male and female when they're reacting to this?
Yeah, so this is just my personal observations. What I've noticed is that with women, there is a tendency to go to friends, talk about it. And that's whether they're socialized that way or, you know, culturally, that's okay. With men, I don't feel that expressing your emotions and talking about your feelings is as socially acceptable. And what I see happen is there's a suppression of emotions versus going through it. You distract yourself from it. And I have witnessed men go to, whether it's drinking or drugs or having a lot of casual sex with many women, to try to distract themselves from the pain versus going through it and picking out what are the critical lessons for me to learn. And of course, I'm not going to make a complete generalization, but in the cases that I've looked at, those are some of the commonalities I've seen in trends.
Interesting. I was once told that women grieve, men replace. Right? And now, I think it was inferred that they replaced with another woman, but not necessarily. Drugs, alcohol, right? Getting work, right. You know, getting buried in work, whatever it may be. But there is a, just to your point, there's almost a running from it. And as well as a guy, I can imagine there's a kind of a macho thing happening. And that is, you know, especially if they get dumped, you know, it's sort of like a, you know, a guy saying, you know, he failed at something as primal as, you know, having a relationship. Mm-hmm. What the heck's wrong with you? Kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. So I think they bury it with all the things that you just gave us a laundry list on. Whereas women, I think, are sometimes, you know, both of us being quite generalized here, more apt to sit down and really process it. Just sit down and go, okay, now that the joke is, I think that women and men are on extremes. I think women can sit there and overprocess it, over traumatize themselves, you know, again and again, and sort of take it to that extreme. Men just sort of run from the whole damn thing. And I guess the best place is somewhere in between where you could acknowledge what happened. You can kind of sit with some shame and guilt and blame and whatever, and then sort of get on with it now. Say, okay, fine. Now what? Got to get on with my life, have to survive, have to thrive. How am I going to do that? And the way I'm looking at your boot camp is you're actually equipping women with tools to be able to do this. Because I honestly think that the mass majority of people out there don't have those tools. They need guidance to be able to take that first step and then to be able to move from there. And I think that that is one of the things that your Renew boot camp is doing when it comes to this breakup issue. Does that make sense to you, Amy?
Yeah, totally. I mean, you've got it exactly what we're trying to do. Is it's no magic pill. You don't come and then you're cured and then you go into the world and you're enlightened. And anyone who ever promises that is lying. What happens is we give a toolkit and you decide within the 10 different facilitators what tools fit well in your toolkit so that you could start practicing that so you can actually rewire your subconscious patterns when you go back into the world. And the main thing we really try to teach is I make the metaphor of a house. And a lot of people, the foundation of that house, self-esteem, self-compassion, self-love, self-worthiness, is cracked. And it's been cracked for a very, very long time. And so when we look at the pattern of the last relationship, it's very common that it's not a standalone, isolated incident, whatever that emotional experience is. It's something that has repeated in life. And so what we really look at is, you know, the thing, every single woman that comes in, they say, it feels like the rug has been completely pulled out from underneath me. And that is exactly how I felt 7 years ago when I wanted to commit suicide because of a breakup. Well, why? And how can we avoid or having our entire world and identity surround a man or a relationship so that when we are in a relationship, we come from a healthy place and the foundation of our house is solid. And if we can connect with people from that place, our relationships will be so much better.
I love it. You know, you mentioned yourself, and I really so appreciate that. And I know all of our listeners do too, because it humanizes everything. How long did it take for you, once you kind of got the drift of what you needed to do, you know, how long did it take you to kind of pick it up and not make those mistakes again and not think about yourself in that way again? What was the process like for you, Amy?
Yeah, so the survival process, I mean, the panic attacks, the anxiety, I would run if I ever ran into him as well. And that took about 4 to 6 months to process. And then after that, I still had anger and resentment that followed me around everywhere, even in my nightmares. And it wasn't until about a year and a half that a key moment happened where I was actually telling the story to a friend who I hadn't seen for a long time. And he asked me in the middle of my story, he's like, "So Amy, does this story serve you?" And I'm like, "No." He's like, "Okay, well, can you think of a time that he wasn't a jerk and he was kind and he was loving and he was honest?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." And he's like, "Well, give me some examples." And I started listing off examples, and I was smiling, and I was like, oh, no, this time. And then I just stopped, and I'm like, wow. In my year and a half of complete anger, I completely saw nothing but the rage and all the bad parts. And anything that was good, I forgot. I went home and I wrote him a letter of forgiveness. And I said, hey, here's my part that I'm accountable for. I know you tried your best. My life is going so well now. I'm moving out of Vancouver. I'm doing this with my life. And thank you. And I completely reframed it. And I realized in that moment, you may not be able to change the events of your history, but you can choose to change the story you attach to those events. And that day I learned the power of reframing. And that has been a skill that has helped me in every facet of life.
Huh. And what was his response? I'm dying to know. So is everyone else.
So he didn't reply. However, we're very good friends now. And he jokes that he should have shows in my company.
Oh, you're so funny. Well, you know, that's interesting. And then, you know, your ability to be able to really be open to that lesson when it happened, when he said, does that really serve you? I thought that that was a fabulous question. I mean, that's a showstopper right there. When you, because it's different. It casts a different a context and framework. It's like, is that really working for you?
Yeah.
And the answer is, nah, not really. I mean, I'm just sitting around doing a mental marination in rage. But other than that, life's great, you know. No, it's not, because you're still, you know, swimming in toxicity. Got to let go at some point. Take that little scissors and, you know, cut the cord and, you know, call it a day here already. And just get on with it. It's hard, you know, when you're in the weeds, deep in the weeds, and you just can't for the life of you, you know, see that there's a whole forest out there. You're just in that weed. But I think that your retreat sounds like a golden opportunity for a woman to be able to sit back and really put this together. Now, where does the retreat actually take place?
It's up in Hudson, and it takes place in a 100-acre estate. It's a private estate that used to be a farm.
Now, you're talking about New York, right?
Okay. Yeah, upstate New York.
Yeah. Okay. And how did you choose this bucolic place?
Yeah. So I've used a few different properties. I've also done it in Malibu. So when the idea is when it's winter in New York, I take it to somewhere sunny. and so it's really important for me for the properties that I choose that it's one home. So everyone is sleeping under one roof. And there's this kind of feeling of nostalgia and safety of being in a house together. And it has to be in nature because there's healing effects of nature, as we all know. So those are two main components of the properties that I choose.
Aha. Okay. So in July, it'll be in New York?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. Very good.
So July and September will be upstate New York. And then in December, I'll be taking it back to Malibu.
Aha. Whereabouts in Malibu?
It's actually right in front of the ocean on right by Dune Point or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Fantastic. I know that every woman out there is going, okay, I'm running onto her website. Let's scope this out. I mean, talk about a fantastic thing. How many women at one time?
15.
Aha. You know, that's a really doable number. I think if you had like 35 or something, that'd get a little funky. Only because how could you, as one human being, deal with, you know, that many people, but I think 15 is doable. Is that, did you come up with that number?
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's only so many molecules you can share with everybody.
I want to keep it intimate. And in the future, we may go up to 20. However, there also is a team of 9 to 10 facilitators that come in and out throughout the weekend.
Mm-hmm. And are these facilitators, are they local or do you use the same team or what goes on?
Yeah, most of the time, there's some core members of the team that I use. So I have 2 psychologists. I have a coach. The dominatrix is now a staple of my team. Our tantra expert has been there from the very beginning. We have a chef who has a master's in nutrition who does all of our retreats. And then the ones that I switch out would be yoga, meditation, and energy healers.
Ah, okay. Excellent, excellent. And that actually is really smart because, you know, that one particular group, thank heavens, they seem to be ubiquitous. There's some really great people out there to be able to choose from on both coasts. Now, where do you see this in 5 years? Do you see expanding this somehow?
Yeah, I feel like eventually I will create something for men. I'm not there yet, but I am getting inquiries from men. Not as many as women, but some. So I would love to take it around the world. Eventually, I would love to have my own center on both coasts. And at any time, you know that there is a retreat going on a weekly basis. And I could design the center exactly like I wanted.
Ah, fantastic. I'm going to give you one hint. As you know, I'm also an author and I have several New York Times bestsellers. You know where I'm going with this. You need a book. I think a book that, I mean, you're probably already laughing, holding your advance with, you know, HarperCollins right now. But I'm just saying that you should definitely get you know, pen a little something here, you know, in terms of just some baseline stuff. You could even use some of this as a bit of a preface to what happens with the retreat, women's stories, you know, this and that. Nothing in the world to have a woman relate to more than hearing about another woman and for that woman to be able to say, whoa, that sure sounds like me. And if she got out of this, then I guess I can too. Mm-hmm. So I assume you've already given this great thought, right, Amy?
You may be psychic, and I will continue giving it more thought.
All right. Well, I am psychic. I'm just saying, Okay, one more time. Tell us the website, the best way to be able to get a hold of you so that our listeners out there, if they're in need, can now sign up for your wonderful boot camp.
It's renewbreakupbootcamp.com.
Excellent. And we've been talking to Amy Chan, who is the founder of this fantastic Renew Breakup Boot Camp. And I really want you to run on over to that website, scope it out, because guess what? It's going to happen if it hasn't already. And this is a marvelous resource with book to follow. I just know. Amy, thank you so much for being on this fabulous eye-opening episode. And please run on over to her website to learn more. And while you're at it, everyone out there, take a moment right now. I'm watching you to hit iTunes and rate and review the show. We are sitting here just waiting to hear from you. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today. And hey, stay well.